This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. May not shine like yours, but I'm gonna let it shine. Say yeah, say yeah. I know he's all right. Anybody know it? If he got you through a storm, you need to know he's all right. If he made a way for you, you ought to say, I know he's all right. If he brought you out, I know he's all right. I may not know a lot. I may not know three things. I may not know two things. But there's one thing I know. I know he's all right. Say yeah. Say yeah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on home and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Jump up and shout and clap hands and run down the aisles, but that's the kind of music that worships him, that takes the beat out of it and all of the joy that we get out of songs and clap it, but gives to God the worship. And I'm so grateful that our young people sing those kind of songs as well, because that's the kind of song when you enter into his presence, when nobody else is around, that's the time when you just magnify the Lord and you just say, Lord, I just want to thank you for what you've done. I just want to magnify you. You are so wonderful. Oh, you were bruised for our iniquities. Listen, I mean, you just begin to worship him. That's what that kind of music does for you. And I thank God. Let's give our young people a hand, if you will. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. If you'll get your Bibles and stand on your feet. If you bow your heads. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for what you've chosen to do in this place thus far. Now thank you as we turn our attention to your word. Do in the word as only you can. Let the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching, preaching ministry meet us in the text. Tell of the truth so that each one of us will hear what you're saying to us individually and then to all of us collectively. God would be ever so careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And every believer said, amen. God bless you. If you would turn your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. I want us to look at verse 15. We have heard this story, and I just want to deal with it in light of the fact that God has called many of us to great works. God has conceived greatness in many of us as relates to the calls on our lives, the vocations that he has already designed for us. And sometimes because of life's experiences, our past, our pedigree, or maybe our peers, we don't feel worthy of what God's called us to do. But look at Judges chapter 6, verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject. Are you sure it's me, Lord? Are you sure it's me, Lord? One of the things that I think is so important when we look at after Gideon was called to deliver Israel from Midian, he protested the call. In our verse, he protested it because there were some things he felt were lacking in his life and connected with a mighty man who would be considered a deliverer, who would be considered a mighty man of valor. And so because of that, it is important to recognize, if you know the story, the angel comes and he appears to Gideon, and he tells him, he calls him a mighty man of valor. And so Gideon is wondering, who are you talking about? I am not a mighty man of valor. One of the things that he didn't know that the angel did know was what God had already placed inside of him. And one of the things that God will cause for us to realize and recognize that he will show to another man or woman of God many times what he has conceived inside of you that you do not even recognize that is a part of you until the revelation has been made. Until you have been prophetically called out, until that calling has been brought from the subconscious to the conscious level. And you begin to wonder, wait, no, not me. I'm not ready. I'm not worthy. I'm not right. And one of the things you've got to realize is as you look at the Word of God and begin to see the people God called, God uses, they were not always perfect people in perfect position or perfect situations or perfect conditions. Well, one of the reasons why is very clear. We become all confused about it, but it's clear. If God is not trying to reach a perfect person, why does he need a perfect person? It just makes sense to get somebody who's been there, done that. Somebody who understands the psyche, somebody who understands the operation, somebody who understands the flow. What better person? That's why we look in our ministry to get people who have been delivered, who have been set free, who have been a part of past life and know what the devil's entrapments were all about, to who are now experiencing deliverance, to utilize that breakthrough and that blessing as a ministry to help deliver others who are still struggling and straining trying to get out. And so God calls through this angel Gideon, and he calls him a mighty man of valor, and he lifts him up, and Gideon has issues with this.
First of all, he deals with what he considers is important in order to be successful. And isn't it strange, my brothers and sisters, that God doesn't look at what man looks at that qualifies us to be a victor, or that qualifies us to be successful, or that qualifies us to be in ministry? Isn't it strange that God's view is so much different, because God looks at what is real while man looks at that is pretentious, and that is put on, and that is fake, and that is external, when the truth of the matter is many times all of that is just cover-ups. Listen, you can learn behavior, but you have to live character. I'll say that again, because it bears repeating. You can learn behavior. You can learn how to act like a Christian in church on Sunday mornings. You can learn how to say amen, clap your hands, do the dance, all the rest. You can learn all that's learned behavior. Many times people say amen, praise God, and put it in places that God don't get no praise, and it ain't no amen, because amen means so be it or be it so, and that ain't really what you're saying. So you just saying amen as a filler? That's learned behavior. Well, I just love the Lord, praise God, amen, and everything I do, praise God, amen, and thank you, praise God, amen. God, you think God's getting any praise out of it? That's a filler, because you ain't got another appropriate word to put there. Young sit quiet, maybe that's how y'all talk, I don't know. But can I tell you, you don't have to use praise God, amen, hallelujah to have a Christian conversation with somebody or speak to somebody to let them know that you got some God in your life. And so many times we don't understand that God isn't looking for what we think is important to be successful. Well, let's look at one of the first things that Gideon looks at. And the first thing that he looks at is a lack of fortune. A lack of fortune. Let's go back to verse 15. The Bible says, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Wherewith? 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 With what? That's literally what he said. With what do I have to save Israel? It costs. How many of you know war costs? That's a great price to be paid for war. And so he's literally saying, wait a minute, wait, if I'm going to be the deliverer of Israel, I mean, maybe God, you've got this thing twisted, because my family is poor. We have a lack of fortune. Somebody say lack of fortune. Now, so many times, believers, Christians, church folk, brush off God because they don't feel they have the fortune, the good fortune, to do what God has called them to do. What God has called you to do has very little to do with what you've got to do with. It has to do more about his anointing and his provisions for the one that he has called or chosen to do what he has called or chosen them to do. In other words, if God calls you and you're raw material, I need you to realize that he knew you were raw material when he called you. And what he was going to do was he was going to develop you and define you and then ultimately refine you for the work that he's called you to. The reason he called you as raw material was because maybe he didn't like all the other stuff that was put on some of the other folk he could have used. Sometime he wants you to just be real and just be raw and let him design you and program you the way he wants, instead of having to deprogram you and reprogram you to his way as opposed to the world's way. Why do you think God called Jeremiah when he was yet in his mother's womb? God said, I knew you and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Why? So he could shape him and mold him and make him what he wanted him to be. And that's why Jeremiah became so discouraged in the 22nd chapter and wanted to throw it all away, because he's like, wait a minute, God, you've been telling me this for a long time. I don't see the manifestation of this. I don't see the fruition of this. God, you've been promising that you were going to use me to do these great and wonderful things that you started off saying to me in chapter 1 of Jeremiah. And here it is. Now he finds himself in a dark dungeon now, dealing with derisions daily that he perceives to come from the Lord. He's going through some stuff because he opened up his mouth and preached the word that God told him to preach. But now it seems like God has retreated from him, and he's dealing with the backlash of his preaching, and nobody's there to help him. So he then decides, in jail, in the dungeon, he's going to pen a letter to God. I resign my post as prophet to these people. And when he tried to do that, because God doesn't always come when you want him, and he doesn't always come when you're ready for him, and he doesn't come when you think it ought to be the time for him to show up and do what he wants to do through you. The Bible said, but his word was in me as a burning fire, shut up in. Now, it's one thing when fire's on you. You can drop and roll, put it out. But what can you do when fire is in you? He sat down, closed up his mouth, and said, I will speak no more in your name or say any word anymore in your name. I won't say another word. And he shut up and sat down. But the word was already there. Can I tell you, once the word is in you, you can't do nothing about it. That's why the devil don't want the word in you. That's why David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Why? Because once the word gets in you, you don't control the word. The word controls you. And that word started stirring. And you know, it's all right when it's calm. And it's not speaking to you. But how many witnesses are here know that this word will wake you up in the midnight hours? You can be driving down the road in your car, and this word, nobody else in the car, the word will talk to you. You find yourself walking around the house saying, huh? I ain't called you. Oh. And you know you heard a voice. This word will deal with you in ways, in decision making, in activities, in so many different ways. And this word started stirring in him, and he said, his words, I could not stay. In other words, I had to resign my resignation. Because God was still dealing with me, working with me. And he felt when God had, in his mind, abandoned him, then there wasn't no need to keep on going. How many of you been doing what the Lord wants you to do, and many times you felt abandoned by the Lord? See, if you don't raise your hand, that means you ain't been employed by the Lord to do nothing. Because sometimes the Lord will take his time getting to you when you call him, and you know he done sent you out there. All right, Lord, I'm out on center stage and you ain't said nothing. You be like, all right, Lord, I can't do this without you. Now, this ain't the John Montgomery hour. This is your hour. Come on, say something. And I mean, sometimes you'll be there just waiting. And I've just learned if the Lord don't say nothing, we'll just go on with something else. I wish I had a witness here. And why is that important? Because you want to hear from the Lord. You want to know what the Lord is saying. So his excuse was a lack of fortune. My family is poor. I didn't call your poor family. I called you. Why are you making this about them? Why are you making this about money? Why are you making this about resources? I have everything necessary to equip you in the call. Trying to get somebody to hear me here, to recognize when God calls you to do an extraordinary thing, it's because he's an extraordinary God who can put in you greater, that is more abundant than you could ever even know, but it would never manifest itself until you get yourself in position. Many times you thought you couldn't do something and the Lord did it through you anyhow. I just couldn't get up for all them people. I just couldn't do this. I didn't know how to do it. And then you just began to pray and trust God. And God brought you through far more wonderfully than you thought. See, the only time you fail is when you try and do it yourself. But when you do what thus saith the Lord, you cannot fail. Now, I want you to see this again, because let's look at this word. This is so important. God calls him to deliver him and to deliver the people of God. And so he's looking at this word. Again, he says, behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. So he deals with the lack of fortune. But then not only that, he deals personally with the lack of fame. The lack of fame. Look at what he says, end of verse 15. And I am the least in my father's house. Well, there's a lack of fortune in my family, and then there's a lack of fame because I am the least one, the least notoriety, the one least expected to win, the one least expected to achieve, the one least expected to be anybody, the one, the least one, the one that everybody would have picked over, but God picked out. Listen at this, the least one. See, what I'm trying to get somebody to understand in here is God doesn't do his selecting process the same way man does his. God knows the heart. God knows the mind. God knows all that you are made of. And that's why, though there may be others who appear to be more qualified, although there appears to be those who may feel that they have what it takes, although there may be more famous folk to do it and who may be able to do it a lot better than you could do it, if God sees something in you more than he does those who have the natural ability, may I say to you, my brother and sister, you are the kind of candidate that God is looking for. You might have been the only one in your family that did not achieve great academic heights. But yet God looks at you and say, but you've got the right heart. You've got a teachable spirit. You're someone I can invest my wisdom and knowledge in, and you will practice these things and you will see the end result of the fruitfulness of my word where others may not. You may be the less confident one, the least confident one, the one that has the least amount of know-how and ability, and yet God shows you it's not really about your ability. It's about your availability. Because if you make yourself available to God, he'll make you able. Of the 12 disciples Jesus chooses, Peter naturally would have been the least and last one to be chosen the leader of the group. But Jesus saw something in him when he was not yet even with him, called him a pebble, just a little rock. This was the big rock talking about, the little rock. And I got to tell you, if you're rock material, the master recognizes you. And whatever these other brothers were, they were good, but he needed somebody that had a little rock in them. And that's why sometimes when God puts people in charge or in front, it's because they have what he knows they have in them to lead that group and to do what they need to do in the time that he needs to do it. And so sometimes it may not be who we choose or select. It may not be with the capabilities that we qualify them with. But I've got news for you. If God sees it in you because he's planted it in you, it is for his glory and for all of our good. Listen at this. And we know, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, not to your purpose. You may want to sing in the choir, but he gave you other skills. Sing, make a joyful noise while you do what he called you to do. It would be evidently, crystal, classically clear that that was not the gift he gave you. And you would be far more beneficial functioning in the place God called you. But I want you to see this, because as you look at this text, you know, I'm trying to help us understand you don't have an opportunity anymore to make excuses about your family. Amen. Well, I didn't, you know, I mean, you don't know my family. Man, ain't no way in the world God can use me from the family I've come from. Everybody, there ain't been nobody in my family ever made it. Ain't nobody in my family ever graduated from college. Ain't nobody in my family ever mounted up to anything. And blah, 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 that ain't no excuse. God shows you it ain't all about your family. And then God shows you it ain't always about your fame. It's not always about you being known. God likes to take some nobodies, some unknowns, some people that everybody doesn't recognize, and then he catapults them to a brand new place in him that everybody cannot deny. That's how awesome God is. He can take somebody who nobody knows about, and relatively in politics they call that a dark horse. He will take a dark horse and run him all through, and everybody talking about these two folk here, and all of a sudden from the behind, here comes that dark horse making way from the behind. He's steady moving up, and all of a sudden when it comes to it, here it is. He comes not out from behind, but he comes out in front and wins everything and blows folk away because they had their focus in the wrong place. How many times have the Lord done this? Come here, David. Help Gideon out. David was the least of his father's children. He was a shepherd boy. God had sent the man of God to anoint one of David's sons. Jesse, I've got a job to do. God sent me to anoint one of your sons to be king. All right, bring them out. He brought them all out, lined them all up. One by one, man of God went by there, but the oil wouldn't flow. He said, I know I've not missed God. Jesse, something is wrong. Something's wrong. Jesse, do you have any more sons? He said, well, I got my baby boy, but he's out there tending the sheep, and he's just a Ronnie little thing. He's called a pretty boy. We don't even bother. He's not big and brownie like his brothers. He could not stand like a king. He's not king material. Just let him leave where he is, because he's a shepherd watching over it. He said, bring him in here. David leaves his sheep and come on in. What, Dad? Prophet said, let me see here. The oil started running down. He said, that's your king right there. Anoints him to be king. Bigger brothers, stronger brothers, I mean more manly brothers, all of that, God saw something different. I mean, you don't understand. He doesn't work the way you think. It's not all about fame. It's not all about being known. It's not all about everybody lifting you up and congratulate you, patting you on the back, and making you this celebrity. It's somebody that's faithful to the call. David was faithful to the call as a shepherd boy. God turned the shepherd into a king. So don't tell me that the Cinderella story didn't start in the Bible. Because I got news for you. All it did was change the names and characters. But it's the same story. And all I'm trying to tell somebody here today is God wants to use you, but you're looking at other folk who seem to be more qualified, other folk who have the natural ability, other folk who's got the training and the learning, and saying, well, surely God will use them. Well, maybe not. You don't have to always be famous or have fame for God to recognize you. You don't always have to be the one that people esteem for God to use you. That's why God will use many people to save many people in this world. And it won't be done by famous people. It'll be by grassroots efforts. People on their jobs, people in their neighborhoods, people out witnessing, people sharing the gospel in many places that the famous would not do it. Because they need a big crowd. They need a big audience. Where this man or this woman that God anoints to speak, to minister, will say to that brother, we'll go to that wino, we'll go to that drug addict, we'll go to that nursing home, we'll go to that hospital, we'll go to that prison and minister the word of God, and many will be saved. Well, may I suggest to you, it wasn't just about a lack of fortune, and it wasn't about really a lack of fame. The truth of the matter was, it was a lack of faith.
Yes.
A lack of faith. Look at your neighbor and say, a lack of faith. A lack of faith is what keeps many of us from moving into the place that God wants us to be, whether it be business, whether it be ministry, whether it be relationship, whether it be whatever it is that God's got for us. It's a lack of faith. God, I can't believe you. You mean me. I know me. I ain't no mighty man of valor. I'm scared of my own shadow sometimes. I know you can't be talking about me, God. But here's what I love about the Lord. See, God don't always want folk who's so caught up in themselves. God doesn't always want somebody to think it's all about me. This is my show. This is all about me. If it, look, I, no, God wants somebody who says, Lord, if you don't do it, it can't be done.